Today's reading is Luke 1, 5 to 25. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in years. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty, he was serving as priest before God. He was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for burning of incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years." The angel answered, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. That was great, that was. Good morning. Ah, that's a bit better. Thank you so much. When you came in, you should have been, unless you escaped them, a piece of paper and a pen. You need your piece of paper and a pen. If you haven't got a piece of paper and pen, there are some next to Paul, just over there. Risen Lord, you're in our midst this morning. Will you take your word and speak with power into our lives this morning, so that you will have your glory in our lives as we go out into the world later on. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Black Friday. What a name to call it. Well, as some of you will know, I love cruising. So on Black Friday, Fred Olsen sent me a text to say we're giving 40% off cruises next year, of selected cruises. I was so excited, as you might imagine. But then I read the small print. Always read the small print. The fares were anchor fares. That meant that you had to pay the full price at the beginning. You couldn't do it in installments. Oh, you couldn't choose your cabin. Oh, I don't like that. You couldn't choose your meal time. If you wanted a particular meal time, you had to pay £2 a day more. The shuttle bus cost £5 at the ports. My excitement evaporated. Give me freedom fares, I said to myself, anytime. Small print, my friends, really matters. However, in the Bible, the small print are nuggets which we need to grasp. And we so often read the Word of God, don't we? And we just read over it and we think, I don't know what that means, but does it really matter? The answer is the words and the phrases do matter, because they give us a greater understanding of the passage. Our reading today is the story of the foretelling of the coming of John the Baptist. You know it. What can I add to what Annette read to us this morning from the Word of God? It's pretty obvious, isn't it? Well, is it? So will you take your Bibles, please? Will you take your Bibles as we go on a journey of discovery? Will you turn to Luke chapter 1, verse 5? I apologize about my chest. Well, it looks straightforward, doesn't it? So let's start a digging. Verse 5, King Herod. Did you know he was only half Jewish? Did you know that? I didn't. He was only half Jewish. So he didn't really care about the Jews. All he was interested in was keeping his rulers in Rome happy. Quite frankly, he wasn't a very nice person. He was the Herod who killed the little children after the birth of Jesus Christ, because the Magi had outwitted him, and he wasn't happy about that. His son, Herod the Tetrarch, was the person who eventually had John the Baptist beheaded. What a ghastly family. Now, Zechariah was a priest, and he belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. I bet you've read that hundreds of times. I have. And I haven't the remotest idea what the division of Abijah is. This is where we start digging, my friends, deep. Come with me in your minds, if you will, to the book of Genesis. We find there that Levi was the third son of Jacob and Leah. And when the 12 tribes went into the promised land, there were the 10 other children of Jacob, plus Joseph's two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, and they became the 12 tribes. The Levites had no land allotted to them, no land at all. Instead, their job was to perform the priestly rites in the tent of meeting and eventually, of course, in the temple of Jerusalem. Now, the priestly tribe of Levi, did you know this, was divided into 24 divisions. Abijah, if that's the correct pronunciation, was the 8th division. And if you're interested, you can read all about this in 1 Chronicles 24. We note too, interestingly, that Zechariah's wife Elizabeth was descended from Aaron. So what, you might say to yourself? Well, who was Aaron? In Exodus 2, we read these words. Now, a man of the tribe of Levi married a woman who was a Levite, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. And when she saw that the son was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. The child, of course, was Moses, as you know. But then if we start delving into the Levi records, we find this in Exodus 6. These were the clans of Levi according to their records. Amram married his father's sister, Jochebed, who bore him Aaron and Moses. Ah, so John the Baptist came from a priestly tribe, both on his mum's side and on his dad's side. So my first major point I want to make to you this morning is this, that John the Baptist came from a priestly lineage. But then we read something interesting in verse 36 of this same chapter, outside of the reading, but don't worry about that. An angel visits Mary to tell her she was going to have a baby. We read, even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. Some versions use the word cousin for relative. So Jesus and John the Baptist were related. Did you know that? Perhaps you did, perhaps you didn't. So my second major point is this, that Jesus and John the Baptist were related. You know, I think sometimes in our services, not a judgment or a criticism, we rush through things, don't we? We have the prayers, the reading, the preach, blah, blah. So I believe this morning we're going to do something a little bit different in a sermon. We're going to have a moment of reflection. A moment of reflection. You have your piece of paper and you're wondering what on earth to do with it. Swing into action. With your pencil at the top of one side, will you write these words, what I think God is saying to me. What I think God is saying to me. Indeed, if anything, of course. But what is God saying to me? And then will you turn it over, and at the top of the second side put, what have I learnt? What have I learnt? So what is God saying to me on one side and on the other, what have I learnt? So let's be still, please. And just say, Lord, what are you saying to me so far? And have I learnt anything? If so, would you jot it down, just briefly, just a pithy statement. What is God saying? What have you learnt? Obviously, if anything. We need to move on. We're now looking at verse 6. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the law and Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. John the Baptist had godly parents. Wow. Both his parents were godly. Now, if you forget anything I've said this morning, will you remember my major points? The first one, John the Baptist came from a priestly lineage. The second one, Jesus and John the Baptist were related. And thirdly, John the Baptist had brilliant parenting. So we move on to verse 7. Zechariah and Elizabeth had a problem. They were childless, and like myself, old. Why did this matter? Not the age, the childless bit. Why did it matter? Well, in the Jewish culture, this meant that if you were childless, then God wasn't putting his blessing upon you. Indeed, jump to verse 25, if you will. We read there, the Lord has done this for me, she said, that's Elizabeth. In these days he's shown his favor and taken away my disgrace from the people. So God actually was with her, but not at this point in our sermon. Oh, the influence of culture for good and for bad, isn't it? We see in our world today arranged marriages. I can't think of anything worse, actually. I don't mean marriage is bad. I mean arranged marriages. Sadly, too, Zechariah and Elizabeth have reached the point where they didn't even pray to God to give them children because they were old. Now, I wonder if I detected a slight groan amongst you this morning, amongst one or two of you. I can imagine you sitting there saying, oh no, he's not going to go through every verse. There are 25 of them. He's not going through the lot, surely. If so, we'll be here to midnight, missing lunch and supper. Fear not, my friends. We're going to look at groups of verses. I see that Peter Bradley at the back is so delighted. So, we turn now to verses 8 to 10. 8 to 10. We know all about the priestly division, because I've spoken about that Zechariah was in. But we read this. He was chosen by lot according to the custom of the priesthood. Well, this practice, funnily enough, goes back to 1 Chronicles 24, which talks about the divisions of priests. But we read this. They divided them impartially by casting lots. For there were officials of the sanctuary and officials of God. The casting of lots is quite a widespread practice in the Bible. Indeed, I discovered 21 references to it in the Old Testament and 5 in the New. Casting of lot was done by throwing stones or cloth or taking stuff out of a bag. But it's something which happens in strict scripture. Now, this is interesting, isn't it? A matter of interest, there were 2 significant occasions in the New Testament when there was the casting of lots. Do you remember Jesus dying on the cross? He's dying on the cross, and the soldiers decided not to tear his clothes. What do we read? Let's not tear it, they said to one another. Let's decide by lot who will get it. This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled that said, they divided my clothes among them and cast lots for them. And then the second one is in Acts. You know that Judas Iscariot had committed suicide, etc. And so they were one apostle short. And what do we read? They cast lots, and the lot fell on Matthias. So he was added to the 11 apostles. We move on, verses 9 and 10. Incense was burnt, evidently, in the temple twice daily. And when the smoke came up, the people stopped everything and prayed. Let's have a moment of reflection, maybe. Take a piece of paper, if you want to, that is, of course. What is God saying to you, if anything? What have you learnt, if anything? We must move on. We've arrived at verses 11 to 20. What nuggets, I wonder, do we find in these verses? The first one is in verse 11. We see the word angel. Do you believe in angels? Yeah, I do. Well, they often appear in the Bible, and their main purpose is to be God's messengers. But this angel who came to see them, to see Zechariah, was no ordinary angel. Oh no. Look what we read in verse 19. The angel said to him, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God and have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. Interestingly, in the same chapter, in verse 26, we read, in the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, obviously to see Mary. It's amazing when you start studying, isn't it? Do you know what I discovered? That only 2 angels are mentioned in the Bible. I'm not going to ask our clergy members if they know what they are. I guess they do. Well, they are, of course, Gabriel and... Who's preaching this sermon? Never mind. Gabriel and Michael. We move on. Zachariah was startled. I think I would be if I was lying in bed and all of a sudden an angel appeared in my bedroom. He was startled. He was full of fear. But do you notice what the angel said to him? Which in a sense you're going to say was so insignificant, but he's not. The angel said this in verse 13b, that's the second part. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you're to call him John. Now usually the son took on the father's name, but the angel specifically says you're to call him John. Now there are only two recorded incidents in the Bible of God telling parents, excuse me, what they're to call their children. And you're going to tell me who the other one was, aren't you? Jesus, that's right. Excuse me. Jesus. I didn't know that until I started doing the study. And so we arrive at verse 15. Two more nuggets to share with you. We read in verse 15, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He's never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he's born. John the Baptist was a Nazarite. You must say, well, yeah, okay, but what is a Nazarite? Well, for the answer, we need to go to Numbers chapter 6, verses 1 to 6. The Lord said to Moses, speak to the Israelites and say to them, if a man or woman wants to make a special vow, a vow of dedication to the Lord as a Nazarite, they must abstain from wine and other fermented drink and must not drink vinegar made from wine or fermented drink. Jumping on. During the entire period of their Nazarite vow, no razor may be used on their head. They must be holy until the period of dedication to the Lord is over. They must let their hair grow long. Did you know that there are two other people in the Bible mentioned who were Nazarites? Am I hearing anything? No. They were Samson and Samuel. And the other incredible nugget, and this is incredible, isn't it? John the Baptist was to be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he was born. God's hand was on John the Baptist. And then in verses 16 and 17, we come to his job description. I love job descriptions because we know what the person's going to do. What do we read in 16, 17? He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. He will go before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Sadly, in verse 18, Zechariah doubts the angel's words. And you know, there are consequences. Whatever we do, there's a consequence. In verse 20, and now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day the Lord appears because you did not believe my words. Do you remember someone else who doubted God? That's right. Moses. And what's the consequence of him doubting God? He wasn't allowed to go into the promised land. He could see it from a mountain, but he couldn't go in. I think we need to recap. So what am I saying this morning so far? First point, John the Baptist, priestly lineage. Second point, John the Baptist and Jesus related. Third point, brilliant parenting for John the Baptist. And the last point at the moment, my fourth one, is John the Baptist was spirit-filled. Feel another time for a moment of reflection. Take your pieces of paper if you want to. What is God saying to you this morning, if anything? And what have you learnt this morning? Okay, the end is in sight. I meant the end of the sermon, not the other end. Zechariah got the people talking. Look at verses 21 to 25. For he was so long in the temple, and they wondered what on earth was going on. And when his allotted time in the temple came to an end, he came out, but he couldn't speak. And you know, the people said to themselves, obviously, he's had a vision. Once he got home, surprise, surprise, Elizabeth became pregnant. And she was overjoyed. What an incredible God, my friends, as I conclude, we worship. He had his hand on John the Baptist, and he was preparing John the Baptist for his role. And actually, I believe, dear God, does that to us. Things are happening in our lives, and you think, why has that happened? Why am I being put in this situation? I believe he's training us for later on in our lives. So if you forget most of what I said this morning, I encourage you to remember my major points. There are five of them, quite simple, just five. John the Baptist came from a priestly heritage. Jesus, John the Baptist were related. John the Baptist had brilliant parenting. John the Baptist was spirit-filled even before he was born. And John the Baptist was being prepared for serving God. Our last moment of reflection. What do you think God is saying to you this morning? And what have you learnt? I believe it's right just to ask anybody who wants to just to come out and wherever the microphone is. Where's the microphone? Who's here? The microphone. And just share what God has said to you this morning. So who would like to come out and just share? Not what I've learned, that's a personal thing. Who would like to, anybody like to come out if God has actually spoken to you to build you up and to build the church up?
I just thought it was interesting that what John said about small print and not taking things for granted, you know, just to question things. And then later on, we hear that, you know, when Zechariah questions, there's a consequence for doing it. And there seems to be a sort of a contradiction there. But then, you know, the Lord's sort of saying to me, well, this is where discernment comes in, and the Holy Spirit is the mechanism for doing that. Or the person, should I say. Excuse me. And, you know, those things that really came out from what you were saying, John, that made an impression on me. So I just wanted to share that.
Mine was a really simple one, just in the Elizabeth part where, you know, she's barren and doesn't think she's ever going to have a child. And it was just that the seemingly impossible is possible with God. And actually, if God has ordained something, then it can happen. So to trust him with all things, however impossible they may seem.
Well, we're coming to the end of our service now. There's a couple of things I think the Lord may want to minister into. It comes out of what John was saying. The first is, as John said about John, that right from the early, that before John was even born, the Lord was preparing him and calling him into a purpose and a plan, and had actually equipped him even from birth, before birth, with the Holy Spirit. And I think some of you are feeling God's call on your life to something, and you just want God to affirm that, but also you want the Lord to anoint you with more of his Spirit to fulfill that purpose. And the second is this, and it's a challenge for all of us actually, and I've never really thought about this until John was speaking, and he didn't even mention this. It was just, this is wisdom from John and the Lord and the Spirit all at the same time. And that's that Zechariah was told by Gabriel that John would have the spirit of Elijah, and Elijah in this sort of tradition of the time would be the Old Testament prophet who would that would usher in the messianic era, and we see that later in the transfiguration with Moses and Elijah there with Jesus, and some people even thought Jesus was, who is he? Do you say Elijah? And then Jesus asked, well, what do you think? But actually, I think the church in the era that we're living in, this era of the now but not yet of the kingdom, is actually called to be to have that spirit of Elijah, like John the Baptist did, to bring in the Messiah, to usher and to point people to them. And actually, that's the calling of the church, isn't it? That we would have that spirit of Elijah in us as a church, that we would usher in the kingdom and bring in the king and point people to the king. And Jesus in his parable said, look, because the king is coming. I'm coming again. And the church is to some extent the new John the Baptist, to usher in with this spirit of Elijah the coming king, and to look forward, to wait, and to point people to him. And I think the Lord would want to minister into that area for some of us as well. And just as I said that, I think some of you have gone, yeah, I think that's me. I think I want that. God's calling me to be someone that points people to him. And if that's you, then we want to pray for you as well. And the ministry team is going to be over there by the boards where the little chairs are at the end of the service. But they will pray for anything. If you want prayer for healing, prayer for an anointing, for anything, just a touch by God, they're going to be over there at the end of the service. But tea and coffee is going to be at the back here. Other than that, we will see you hopefully next Sunday.